plot twist I forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And welcome to your October bonus episode. Laura had...
Oops.
Yeah. No, so Laura had the great idea, since we have three release days this month, that instead of just jumping straight into our reread of what we're doing next, we would just give you another probably hour and a half of book recommendations. Do you want to tell
them the theme?
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, so we're going to do, last time we did a lot of ghosts, a lot of hauntings. And this time around, we're going to do creature features. So vampires, werewolves, witches. Mm-hmm. Oh my.
Oh my.
Which seems to be very popular this week, because ever since I was like, hey, let's do another October episode, I've seen like 17 creature feature posts.
And half of them are from Goodreads, and it's like they just want to be you so bad.
They read my mind.
They did. Like, we know what's happening. And then, yeah, so they did something. I saw Tor Nightfire or Orbit did one, and it was like the recent releases. I was like, that's a good way to promote it. I'll excuse you, but come on, Goodreads. How dare you?
I forgive you, Tor Nightfire, especially if you're going to talk about Devils Kill Devils.
Which I think that was one of the ones that they picked, and they just released the best book. So, you know, I can't be mad at them.
'Tis true.
So, do you want to kick us off with your first recommendation?
Sure.
Or would you like me to go first?
I'll go first.
You go.
Here's my first and only really werewolf recommendation. And it's Such Sharp Teeth by Rachel Harrison. Surprise, surprise.
Shocker.
And I love this one because it's the way that Rachel Harrison writes her horror novels. It's always a feminist take on some, like, usual trope, and this one is just like female rage and then eating an entire rotisserie chicken in bed, and both of those things I'm super down with. So a girl who lives in New York City goes home to stay with her pregnant sister and kind of like help her through the pregnancy, and she goes out one night to a local bar, and you know, she's like thinking about how she grew up in this small town and like how it compares to her life now, and she gets kind of bummed, and she's like, I'm gonna go home. And on the way home, she crashes her car into a large, furry creature, and she gets out to see if it's okay. Don't get out.
Yeah, don't do
it. If it's as big as your car, just keep on going. Just keep going.
Yeah.
It doesn't need your help. If it's that big...
It doesn't need your help.
It probably wants to eat you. And in this case, yeah, it does. It does want to eat you. So that's not a spoiler. It says on the front of the cover it's a werewolf novel. So she becomes a werewolf, and you go through that transition with her and what that is like, and how that's going to fit into her life now. And it's another one. Her books I read so quickly. Mm-hmm. I think I read it in like one day, and it was great. And I talk about it all the time. And anyone who is like, oh, I don't like horror, I'm like, but have you tried anything Rachel Harrison does?
Seriously, I think she's the perfect gateway of like, it's still straight up horror. There's no like dancing around that. But I think the way that she approaches it is just really... I think more palatable for people who don't like horror, because it's so relatable, mm-hmm. especially for people our age. Like, the dialogue is always on point, and the commentary that she does, I really liked that one too. That was a fun one.
Yeah. A lot of the things she talks about, and I just realized that she is exactly my age.
Oh, okay.
She just turned 35 last month or something. She was talking about it on, once again, Books in the Freezer.
Your favorite.
She was on talking about So Thirsty. Yeah. And I turned 35 at the end of this month. So I'm like, oh, well, that's why I relate so much to everything she says, mm-hmm. because she gets
the same.
It. Yeah. Because same. So that's my first one. Do you want to popcorn? We'll bounce back and forth.
Heck yeah. So I have to start with the most obvious one. So when we were planning this, Laura was like, there are two books that I am not going to include because you will pick them. And I said, Laura, why do you have so much faith in me? What if I do not pick them? And she gave me hints, and I was like, oh yeah, that was the first one I thought of. Which was. It really was.
But can you tell the hints, please? Because I am so dumb.
It was really funny, honestly. And I knew what you were talking about. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, she said, I shall describe it. There's water. I think it started our move to the PNW and being a forest witch. Aaron Earnshaw, is that an author? Dark, deep, wicked. I believe those words are involved. So those were my hints. Those were my hints. And it was The Wicked Deep by Shay Earnshaw, which is top tier. I mean, you got it. Earnshaw, Wicked.
I was pretty close.
Yes, you were very close. You were so close. And it is just like the little tagline, and this is how I would almost describe any book she writes. It's like Hocus Pocus and Practical Magic merge. That's just like those warm vibes. And I don't know if it's just, you know, growing up on certain horror things or growing up with Practical Magic, like there's a certain like warm, fun comfort, even though, you know, they're murdering someone and trying to not deal with the possessed demon. Like there's just something so fun about that movie. So anything described as Practical Magic is like on my list forever and ever.
Yeah, for sure. I'm into it.
Okay, so The Wicked Deep, it follows people living in a town called Sparrow, which, great name for a town. I would love to live in Sparrow. Like,
top. Moving to Sparrow. We're
going to move to Sparrow. Get ready, guys. And so the whole plot is that every summer, these three sisters who were hung or murdered, they were tried as witches. They're said to come back, possess young girls and make them drown boys. So it also has like a Jennifer's Body type of thing, you know. They're just, yeah. So, and then it follows Penny Talbot, who has lived in the town. She's very used to it. It is what it is. She has her own stuff going on that she's trying to figure out. But on one of the nights, so the eve of the sisters' return, a boy named Bo arrives, which is the worst time for a young boy to arrive in this town. And now they are thrown together and have to deal with the havoc that these potential spirits of these sisters cause. And it is very fun. The ending is very cool and unexpected. And it's just a good time. Did you read this too?
Yes, I did. I did. You did, right? But it's one of those, but it's weird because I know I loved it. I know I was obsessed to it. And I think I was like, you have to read this. I could be wrong. But I only remember the one big thing. And that's the only thing I remember from the book, which makes me so mad because I know I loved it.
Yes. It was good because I think it bounces back between like the sisters 2 centuries ago and then Penny. And I think we get both. I think there's multiple perspectives. And again, I read this years ago, so I could be totally wrong, but it is just, it's fun. It's the perfect, like, feel-good, spooky kind of lore,
you know. They drown like boys. It's feel-good. But it's true, though, because, like, not a lot of boys drown that year. So, whatever. Just
exactly.
Kidding.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. I mean, okay, in all honesty, like, if you didn't know that those are the vibes of this podcast, then I don't know why you're here. If you're surprised that as feel-good. Come on.
But it is, though, because, like, when you're walking around the town and there's little shops and there's also death, like in any small town, okay?
Exactly. Small town murder, small town haunting. Like, what else do you want? It has everything.
It happens. It's so good. I don't remember what her second book was. I don't think I read that one, but.
Oh, so her other one, the other one is so good. I think it's something Winterwood. There's only one of, or two of hers haven't read yet, but Winterwood is also really good. I still think The Wicked Deep is probably my favorite young adult book of hers. The Winterwood was still really good. It's just a little, but I also haven't read her one from 2 years ago, A Wilderness of Stars, yet, even though I own it. So can't really, you know.
I think I own it too, but I haven't read it.
Buddy read.
But I really did. Like, The Wicked Deep is probably one of my top, like, YA witchy books that I would recommend.
Yes, 100%. What's your next one?
Let's keep the witchy trend going. This is more of a thriller with, like, a mild supernatural aspect. And I'm pretty sure that you read this one. And it's Midnight is the Darkest Hour by Ashley Winstead.
Yes, I loved this one.
It was so good. And it fits for spooky Halloween thrillers because, so there's a murder in a small town in Louisiana?
Yes.
Texas?
Louisiana.
Louisiana. And it's they're next to the bayou or whatever. And the town has these rumors of witches in the swamp. And throughout the whole book, there's like a heavily religious aspect. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, witches. And then there's what's maybe actually happening. And the way Ashley Winstead, like, blended that all together, it just worked so well for me. And it had every aspect of what I need in a thriller that has, like, a mild supernatural theme. Because I know a lot of people get upset when there's, when it's heavily supernatural, but those are my favorite.
Honestly, I love it. And I, what is also fun is I heard through the grapevine before I had actually read it that there was a different ending that she had planned for. And when you read it and then you hear the other ending, part of me wishes that she went with it, but then it kind of falls into the, oh shoot, like it probably would have made other people happy for the supernatural aspect. But I just love how when you open her books, you never really know what you're gonna get, because it is, she like takes a thriller, added the supernatural aspects of what the low man or something, like whatever that entity was.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, the way she does, it's just so well and so heartfelt and dark at the same time. It's just fun.
Yeah. This is the only one I've read of hers, but here's a little bit of the synopsis that I pulled up. I know, and I just found out that The Last Housewife, or whatever that one is called, is a cult story, which I did not know.
It's a cult story, but it has fantasy elements. Like, 1001 Nights is also plays a big part in this story. And it's just, that was one of the ones, I don't know if you remember, but it's the best cult book I've ever read. And two, you know how there's those books where you just want another inch, you want that, like, what the ending you don't normally get in a thriller? And she, like, she just takes it to another level. So you need to read that, like, now.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list, because I didn't even know it was out there, to be honest. And so now I've got it. But let me...
You're forgiven.
Thank you. I'm sorry. To save me from rambling and explaining nothing about this book, here's a little bit of the synopsis. Ruth Collier has always felt like an outsider, even as her father rains fire and brimstone from the church pulpit. In Bottom Springs, his word is as good as law. But there are things the townspeople fear more than God, like the low man, a vampiric figure said to kill sinners in their beds on moonless nights. When a skull is found deep in the swamp, a hunt for the low man begins. And then, you know, suspicion turns to Ruth's oldest friend, Everett, and she's, like, determined to protect him. And so not witches in the swamp. It's a vampire in the swamp. But I think they also talk about, maybe I'm blending several books together. I don't know. But hey, read
it. It's good. It fits. I mean, there is, like, another aspect.
It just left, the title completely left my brain, and I thought I was having a stroke. Midnight is the Darkest Hour by Ashley Winstead. Although the ending of that book, I didn't like. You know how you were talking about the ending and how the alternate ending? I prefer the alternate ending.
Kind of shocked, because I remember, like, it's one of those ones where it ends and you flip the page, like, there has to be more, right? Like, where is it? And there's not.
Yeah. Girl, yeah, what? So what do you mean?
Heard her fully talk through the alternate ending, but I am very curious to, like, hear the thought process behind it, just because I think it would just be cool to hear how it could have ended fully in that whole regard, but...
Right. That's why I prefer, and I don't know all the specifics, but I know that I prefer it.
I just know that I like it more.
I like it more.
That's where I want to go. Okay, so my next one is one that I remember nothing but the vibes, so very fitting for this podcast. It is possible that this is a misunderstanding. I don't think it's a misunderstanding. I think I still understood the assignment with this one, and it's Our Crooked Hearts by Melissa Albert. Did you read this?
No.
Okay, so this is the same author of The Hazelwood, which I haven't read, but after this was my first book of hers, and I definitely want to read more. I did this on audio. The narrators are incredible, and it follows a young girl, Ivy, who is 17, and her mother. So the whole story is just her trying to understand her mom, who she's always had a very distant relationship with in a way. Like, her mom is not very emotionally available a lot of the time, so it's very hard for her to connect. But she is driving home one night with her ex, and they almost run over a young woman who is just standing in the middle of the road. And it just kind of turns into a chain of very eerie events that force her mom to come forth with, like, who more of who she is, more of her past, and, like, has Ivy going through kind of the same thing of just trying to discover who her mom is. So it alternates between the mom growing up and Ivy in the present, and it is supernatural. There's maybe some witches or magic and just something a little darker. So it's a good time. It's just fun.
I don't even remember that one at all, but I will have to look it up.
I think it came out 2 years ago. It was a little bit ago, but it's a good time. Oh, you would like it because it takes place in 1990s Chicago for her mother's portion of it. Oh, so
anything set in, like, the Pacific Northwest or, like, horror in Chicago or, like, fantasy in Chicago, I will do.
Ooh, okay. Well, there you go.
All right. My next one is one I know you haven't read because you are a bad friend. And it is...
wait, can I guess? Is it The Winter People?
No, it's not. But it is The Night Sister by Jennifer McMahon, the author of The Winter People. But I'm not discussing The Winter People with you anymore because...
I'm a fake friend, I know.
Because
I suck.
Yes, you're the worst. The Night Sister by Jennifer McMahon. And I apologize, I read this in 2015, okay?
Let's go. Describe it to me.
This is vibes alone. I remember nothing. So my friend and I did, like, a little baby book club, and it was just me and her, and we would read a book, and then we would, like, bake a cake, and then we would eat cake and discuss the book. And that was it. That was the book club.
I love that so much.
It takes place at this... Yeah, it was great. It was good times. But now she lives, like, an hour and 15 minutes away from me, and she's got a baby. Ooh. Yeah, so it's much more difficult to have cake book club. So, The Night Sister. It takes place at a motel in rural Vermont, and it was once a thriving attraction. I believe that was in, like, the 1950s, and now it's in complete disrepair. And three friends, Amy, Piper, and Piper's little sister, Margot, used to play there as children until the day they discovered something while playing there that changed their relationship forever. And now, as adults, Piper and Margot have tried to forget that summer and not think about it at all. But Piper receives a panicked midnight call from Margot with news of a horrific crime for which Amy stands accused. And the crime is, like, bad. Like, family annihilator bad.
Whoa.
And suddenly Margot and Piper are forced to relive the time they found the suitcase that once belonged to Sylvie Slater, the aunt that Amy had claimed ran away to Hollywood, dreaming of becoming Hitchcock's next blondie bombshell leading lady.
Ooh.
So as Margot and Piper investigate, a clearly woven plot unfolds, revealing the story of Sylvie and Rose, two sisters who had lived at the motel in its 1950s heyday, each believed the other to be something truly monstrous, but only one carries the secret that would haunt the generations to come. So that was from Goodreads. But based on vibes alone, I can't... This... So it's a light supernatural thriller, mm-hmm. but I don't remember exactly what kind of creature is in it, but I know one of the sisters thinks the other one is a creature of some kind. And I don't really want to say...
I love that.
I don't really want to say anything else because it kind of breaks it up. Like, I think it ruins it. But in typical Jennifer McMahon fashion, it's this, like, great setting, this crumbling motel or this, like, very fancy motel, depending on what time you're in. And so you have this 1950s timeline with a girl who dreams of going to Hollywood. And then you have the past with the three friends who are making discoveries in this motel. And then you have the present where one of them has been accused of this awful crime and the other two kind of try and lightly exonerate her. And it just, like, you can't stop reading it. And I feel that way a lot about books with multiple POVs. Like, I love a past timeline, and Jennifer McMahon does it a lot and does it so well. And I love her setting. Like, she makes Vermont sound like a fairy tale land, but like bad though sometimes.
Like a bad fairy tale. Right. Honestly, I'm here for that though.
And it was really good, and I loved it. And I don't remember anything about it. But the cover is purple, and that's it.
And well, that's a very important detail. I do need to read her books finally, because I see them talked about all the time. I've never heard a bad thing about her book, so one day. I'm not going to put a timeline on it, because then you're just going to yell at me.
Well, it's been 4 years already, you betrayer. But I haven't read a lot of her new ones. I went through, so I read The Winter People, and then I read everything she had published. And
oh, okay, got it.
Yeah. And
worked backwards. Right.
And so I have to catch up, because I haven't read anything since The Invited, maybe, which came out a couple of years ago. But I haven't read a lot of her new stuff, which I need to get around to.
Heck yeah, you do. Okay, my next one, it's hard for me to think creature feature and not mention Cassandra Caw in some capacity, because I think she does very well when it comes to just creature stories. Like, all of them have some sort of interesting element. So the one that came to mind to me first was The Dead Take the A Train. Sorry, that title screwed me up for a second. And she co-wrote this with Richard Caudry. So this is supposed to be a duology. Only the first one is out, but it follows Julie Cruz, we're in this futuristic setting, and she is basically a monster hunter in a way. Like, there is magic, there is creatures, it's kind of cosmic horror, honestly. And so she takes jobs to help people with various like infestations and very gross. It is very violent, it is gross, but it's fun. It's a really good time as you just watch her, because they describe her as burnt out. She's 30 something, and she just, like, as she's not fighting creatures, she's doing copious amounts of drugs and is just trying to figure out her life. And there's a cast of great characters. There's just a lot of stuff. It's really fun. And I would, again, this is another one that I think audio would be perfect for. It's narrated by Natalie Nottis. I have no idea if that's how you pronounce her last name, but good times.
I was about to drop a same girl, and then you were like, copious amounts of drugs, and I was like, oh, never mind.
You're like, just kidding, that is
that's,
not me.
That's not what you I'm doing.
You had me burnt out 30-something.
I go to bed at 9 p.m., but that's close as I get. I actually just saw the cover of this one today, and I was like, ooh, intriguing, because it's like neon.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Neon. Mm-hmm. And she just also announced a new one, because this came out in 2023. She hasn't released anything this year yet, but she has a new one coming next year. Thank goodness. So, but have you read this one yet?
No.
You need to.
Monster Hunter sounds like such a good time to me too, and it's not something that I've read a lot of. You know, there's always like a vampire hunter or whatever, but I think the closest, no, I can't remember the title, so I'm not even gonna bring it up. I haven't read a lot of like Monster Hunter situations, so that sounds really fun to me.
And it's also futuristic and takes place in New York City, so get after it.
I absolutely will. My next one is a young adult cozy hug, and it's These Witches Don't Burn by Isabel Sterling. And by cozy hug, I mean there's absolutely death in this book, and it is not cozy. but it's amazing. So there's a high school girl. Her name is Hannah, and it's summer in Salem, Massachusetts.
Love it.
Right. And she works at like a witch store.
Okay.
I can't remember the name. Oh, it's the Fly By Night Cauldron, I think is the name of the witch store that she works at, like selling candles or whatever. But she's an actual elemental witch. And she spends most of her time trying to avoid her ex-girlfriend because high school and times are hard. And I feel that. And then at a bonfire, another secret witch does a blood ritual, and then everything goes badly, and Hannah is trying to figure out who the Deadly Blood Witch is, and the rest of her coven is like, maybe you're overreacting. So no one, so she's kind of like on her own, and then she teams up with Veronica, and I can't remember why she's not super close with Veronica.
Is Veronica?
Veronica is her ex-girlfriend. Laugh out loud.
I was going to say, is Veronica the ex?
Veronica is the ex. So her and the ex-girlfriend team up to find this blood witch because after the bonfire, she starts attacking Salem's real witches.
Oh.
And it's just, it's, I haven't read the sequel because I get sidetracked and lost. I own it, but I think the next one is something with the coven. I can't remember. Coven won't break, maybe?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, but it's just, this one is such a good time. I, again, think I read it in one sitting. And if you're looking for, like, a young adult book that packs some punch, like, this one's super fun.
I do remember that one. I feel like that one was going around for a while on Bookstagram.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was honestly probably 2020. I feel like I saw that quite a bit. And I ended up buying it. Still haven't read it.
Yeah, I want to say it was, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's really good, and it's quick, and it's a good time. And that I was, like, really into witchy reads that fall, and it's a good time. And it does give practical magic if they were teenagers. But instead of sisters, they're exes. So it's more complicated.
Here for it.
Yeah.
Is that around the time, and I'm getting my timelines merged, what's new? Was that around the time that we read The Year of the Witching?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense why you're in a witchy mood. Yes. Because that one just, you know, spurred that on.
Correct.
I want to reread that so bad one day. Perfect. We are going to severely switch gears because my next one, even though it's a YA book, it is very sad, the ending. And it is The Trees Crept In by Dawn Kurtigage.
I don't think I've ever heard of this.
You haven't? Okay. So I found this. I can't remember if someone recommended it to me or if I was just scrolling through what I could get at the library at the time because I had just got my library card, set up a Libby, so I was seeing what was available. And I read two of her books back to back, and this was one of them. And it's set in England, and it follows these two sisters, Scylla and Nori, after they basically run away from their abusive home and they go to their aunt's house. But she lives in this crumbling gothic mansion, which apparently is called the Blood Manor, which I do not remember that being the name. And of course, like, it's around all the woods, so it's kind of like spooky, sinister vibes. And then they hear random creaks in the house, and the little sister sees a man, but she's the only one that sees this man around, and she doesn't know why, or Scylla doesn't know why it's only her seeing it. And on top of it all, there is a beautiful boy who just emerges from the woods one day. And so
I don't like it when they just emerge from the woods. I don't think that's good.
It's never good.
Get away from me.
Because then they want to know your name.
No, get away from me, changeling. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in whatever wares you're selling. Go back to your mushroom circle. I'm not joining you.
What if the wares that he is selling is immortal life and you just get to live not in this world and you can go somewhere more?
Do I have to have a job?
No.
Sold.
Gonna be fairy witch.
Sold.
Fairy something.
Never mind.
Same. I would.
I will join you in your mushroom circle. I changed my mind.
I would actually like very much to follow you wherever you want to go. You want my name? Sure.
That sounds like a great idea.
it is fun. Like, she's trying to figure out a lot. And this is one of those where I honestly don't remember if there is a creature. There is supernatural elements to it. So I think it fits. And I would just, if you want to read it, it is a very great October read, but it is also kind of depressing. So go in knowing that emotionally you're probably going to leave scarred a little bit.
I don't want to be scarred right now.
Yeah, probably not for you right now, but it is worth adding to your TBR for at some point.
I haven't heard of that one, so that's fun. And I shall add it to my TBR for November, which is a month I feel more comfortable crying in. I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Stephen King in Halloween.
Fair.
And I think we talked, I think I mentioned it 75 times in the 6 episodes of this podcast that we've done. But for Halloween, creature feature, I'm actually going to recommend The Mist.
Ooh,
by Stephen King.
Okay.
Because it's a little bit different than like a normal creature feature. Because there's just something in the mist. You don't know what it is. And it ends up being a lot of somethings. And like, don't go in the mist. And everyone probably knows a little bit about the plot. It's like a small main town. It might be coastal. I don't really remember. And everyone's just going about their lives. And then this mist rolls in. And like, some people are trapped at home. Some people are trapped in the grocery store. It's kind of just like a weird natural disaster. And at first, everyone's like, wow, that fog. That's not what people in Maine sound like.
I think it is. Continue.
That fog over there is real thick, like. And no. And, you know, a big tough man is like, well, I'm going to drive in it because I don't need to see to drive. And he goes out to get in his car and all you hear are screams. And that's kind of all you need to know about the mist. And then you're trying to figure out, like, what happened, where the mist came from, what the creatures are. And as you go, it's really interesting. And I can't remember how the book ends, but I remember how the movie ends, and it is also emotionally scarring.
Love it. Done. I think I own this somewhere.
I'm not positive that the book ends in the same way, and I actually kind of hope it doesn't.
Okay.
But I can't remember. I read the book, and I know I really liked it. I've liked all of Stephen King's books, except for the Tommyknockers, which no one should read ever.
You heard it here first, folks.
But The Mist is, it's great. And it's one of the old throwbacks. Like, his newer stuff is good, but it's really, his heyday was 80s, 90s. And I think this came somewhere there. And I love this book. It's a good time.
Well, speaking of copious amounts of drugs, that's also probably why. Was this during his, those years?
Yeah. Yeah. But the Tommyknockers is the one where you'd be like, this man was on a pound of cocaine while writing this.
Oh, no.
You're just like, what are we? It's the, he might have others, but it's the Alien book that he wrote.
Okay.
And I remember listening to it and just being like, I don't understand what we're doing or why we're doing it. Please stop. But I finished it, as I always do, because I love to torture myself.
$10 says that he wrote Misery somewhere on the heels of that, because I also think I would be willing to bet very close, very close.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew I wouldn't like that one, so I didn't read it.
Very fair. Yeah, I know you've always said read his supernatural stuff, so whenever I do get around to it, I definitely will, because I think I'll probably start with it, to be honest. Not only you, but my dad loves it as well, and he did the audio version, despite it being like 30 hours or whatever it is.
It's a million hours long. It's so long.
Crazy. But I heard it's good. So one day I will read that and Jennifer McMahon. We'll see. My next one. Okay.
You heard her appalling.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. If this podcast ends, you guys know it's because I have yet to read Winter People. So if one day there's just a lapse, that's why. It's because also Laura killed me for it finally. So I actually don't know if you read this one, and if you haven't, you must. It's House of Hollow by Crystal Sutherland.
I own it.
You own it. That's
sometimes I look at it and I'm like, wow, you're such a pretty cover. And then I put it back.
And then we go about our day and read something else. Same. Done it too. But yeah, the cover is stunning and kind of piggybacks off something you said earlier, but you'll have to guess what it is because I'm not going to spoil this for anybody. But it follows, again, why do all YA books almost exclusively have just 17-year-olds? Like, not 16, 17, because this girl is 17 as well. Just throwing it out there. So you have Iris, who has always been strange, and this is per the Goodreads synopsis. So her and her two other sisters are very well known in the town because for a few days when they were young, something happened and they don't remember it at all, but it was the talk of the town. They disappeared, and when they were found again, they had black eyes, white hair, and a moon scar, half moon on their throats. They have no idea what happened at all. They're just trying to go through life, right? And Iris is the youngest sister, but then her older sister, Gray, ends up going missing under suspicious circumstances. So her and kind of her other sister as well is thrown into trying to figure out what the heck happened to their older sister, and it's forcing them to confront a lot of different things. There's horned men who are following her, and a lot of just very interesting things. And it's a very cool ending, very fun story. She's definitely in that same vein as like Aaron A. Craig and Shay Earnshaw, I feel like, with just how they do like mythical stuff, and it's really fun. Mm-hmm. So if you don't read it in October, it's the perfect like end of year cozy, not cozy, but just, you know, like dark vibes for this time of year.
That sounds like a really good time. And I've had it for so long, and I remember that you loved it, but I don't know. I got out of the YA mood like pretty hard. And then when I tried to read one, it didn't work, so I haven't gone back, but maybe I'll be ready in like December, because I'm pretty excited about November books, so I don't know. Oh. But December, I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to stare at it every day. I'm going to put it on my downstairs shelf.
There you go. It's so funny. I just moved a book. I was making a reel earlier and going through my books, and I found this one book. It is not related to this at all, but it's called The Center. I don't remember the author's name, but the cover is stunning, and it has something to do with like language learning, horror. I don't know, but I had to put that out too for the Ooh. Same reason. Yeah, it is.
That sounds like fun.
It sounds amazing. And I, you know what? I'm just going to recommend it too. So go read it.
Plot twist. We forgot what we were supposed to talk about.
Yeah. Anyways, creature feature. What's your next one?
I want to know what The Center is about. Oh, I thought you were looking it up.
I'm so sorry. I was just going to leave you guys hanging. Okay. Oh, no. Okay, so I want to apologize. I have not looked up how to say this author's name. I believe it's Aisha Manazir Siddiqui. And this came out a year ago. And it's her debut novel, and it follows an adrift Pakistani translator in London who attends a mysterious language school which boasts complete fluency in just 10 days, but at a secret sinister cost. Bum bum bum. Anissa Elahi dreams of being a translator of great works of literature, but instead mostly spends her days subtitling Bollywood films in her flat in London while living off her parents' generous allowance and discussing the underside of life with her best friend, Naima. Then she meets Adam, who has successfully leveraged his savant-level aptitude for languages into an enviable career. And at first, it only adds to her sense of inadequacy, but then Adam learns to speak Urdu with native fluency practically overnight. Anissa forces him to reveal his secret, and he tells her about the center, which is an elite invite-only program that guarantees absolute fluency in any language in just 10 days. Skeptical but intrigued, Anissa enrolls. Stripped of her belongings and all contact with the outside world, she undergoes the center's strange and rigorous process. But as she immerses herself further within the organization, seduced by all that it's made possible, she soon realizes the disturbing hidden cost of its services. So that is what it is, and it sounds so good.
That sounds very interesting to me, especially because like I am interested in learning other languages, mm-hmm. and I could totally see myself being like, 10 days? Sure, I don't need to talk to anyone else. Exactly. So that sounds super fascinating to me.
And it kind of just, and again, I haven't read it, but just whenever I hear like The Center and like mysterious ways, I always just automatically think of like cult or occult practices. So I'm really hoping there Correct. Is something along those lines there. And yeah, so it... You have to look up the cover. It's really pretty. It has a skull on it, and there's like a bouquet of flowers coming out of it. And it's just, yeah, I forget where I saw that first, but definitely want to read it.
Okay. It is now on my list. Okay. Because it's October 29th, I am bringing up, I know I talked about it last week that I was reading it, but you could read this in one sitting. It's a quick read. So if you're looking for your last spooky season read and you just need something you can fly through, Incidents Around the House by Josh Malerman Yes. is going to be that book.
Okay. Talk to me.
So it's written from the point of view of a child.
Pass.
So... No. Listen to me. Silence. So the sentence structure, at first it's very jarring. And I will admit that. At the beginning I was like, I'm gonna hate this. I don't even know how I can make it through. Because it's, you know, like mommy says, and she calls her dad Daddo, which good for that original family, but like, I don't like it. We call my grandma Mamo, so I should probably shut up. So this child has an entity that lives in its closet, and the child refers to it as Other Mommy, and Other Mommy asks if she can go into her heart. And it's very Coraline in the way that I just know that demon has button eyes. I just know it. So the action takes place like immediately. First chapter, Other Mommy is like, can I go into your heart? And the child is like, no, and sprints away. And that's the beginning. And it's creepy in the beginning. Like the eyes are on the bottom of the face, and it can be really, really big or really small. And you find out that the kid has been seeing this for years, and it used to only live in the closet and has since come out. And now for some reason it can get even closer, and it begins following her everywhere she goes, and the other people start to see it. And it so quickly disintegrates into absolute mind-bending chaos. And I'm not including this. It's not a haunting. This is like a completely different entity. Bad news bears.
Interesting.
In my opinion. Other people could read it and have a completely different take. But so I talked about this last week, I think. I had started reading it right before we started recording. I finished it that night. Like, it's just...
Yes, you texted me that night and was like, you need to read this. Yes. Or it was so... I forget what your message was, but...
Yeah, so I'm including it because it's a super quick read and you can, like, tack it on to your end and get some really spooky horror vibes in, like, a short amount of time. It really packs a punch.
Well, I can't wait to check it out because I know we paused last week's recording for a second to listen to the audio because I told you I was going to do it on audio. And you were curious to hear what it sounds like because of the fact that it takes place from a kid's point of view. And it is creepy. And I cannot wait. Once I finish, I'm finishing up listening to American Rapture. So hopefully soon I will get to that. Next one I have, I don't know, which is kind of shocking to me if we've talked about this author. Maybe we have and I'm just forgetting, you know, on brand for us, right? And it's The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires by Grady Hendrick.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Have we talked about this book yet on the pod?
No, I don't think we've talked about it here at all.
Thank God. I loved this one so much. I think this was potentially the second book of his that I read. I read My Best Friend's Exorcism, was kind of meh about that. But then I read this, absolutely loved it. And it follows Patricia, who is a middle-aged woman, and this takes place in the 80s, so it has like a very fun, timely feel to it. And she is a stay-at-home mom. Her mother-in-law lives with her because she is sick and needs care. And she has an endless list of chores, you know, just unfortunately what the housewives of that time kind of went through. But her only saving grace is the book club that she has with her friends. And they end up starting their own book. Like, there's this whole thing where she starts a new book club because she doesn't like what the other people are reading. Of course, we've all been there. So she starts her own book club. They read true crime and end up becoming really close and are all then dealing with the waves that are created when James Harris moves into town, who is a handsome stranger who moves into the neighborhood to take care of his aunt. And everyone's like, okay, interesting. He's one of those guys where it's like endearing to everybody, and only Patricia really sees it as like nefarious, and she doesn't trust him. So then it just goes through her dealing with that and her community and dealing with what that means for her friends and their friendship, and dealing with the obvious misogynistic tendencies of her husband and the community. And it's really good.
It's really good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. That is the first and only Grady Hendrix that I've read. I think I own a bunch of his other ones, but I think that's the only one I've read. But that one is, it's a very, like, good for her breaking out of, like, societal norms, mm-hmm. like, or trying your best to work against them, I guess.
Yeah. And I like it, too, just with how he writes. Like, it reminds you of 80s yes. horror. Like, he definitely really gets that time period done really yes. well.
Yes, and it's very 80s. And I remember certain parts of that book were, like, really funny to me. I don't remember a lot about it. Again, I probably read that. I think I read it as soon as it came out. Okay. Yeah, so it's solely based on vibes. I know that I loved it.
It has probably some of the most, like, cringy scenes. And not cringy that they were bad, but it's just like, okay, that is disgusting. I will pass. Thank you. And he describes it in such detail where it's like, please never, ever. I don't want to see this ever again. Don't want to do it. I hate it. Thank you. And then you're just going to keep
reading. I remember a lot of the husband and wife interactions making me be like, no.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that. And it is a pretty, I think it's like, over 300 pages, maybe close to 4. So you do get a lot of, like, character growth, and you get a lot of satisfaction towards, like, there's a lot of good build up to the end, and highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. That's a good one. My next pick is Immortal Dark by Tigist Girma. And so I'm listening to this right now. I'm halfway through, but it is, like, such a fascinating take on a vampire story. So our main character, her sister has gone missing, and it's been a year since her sister's gone missing, and she is desperate to find her. And she gets a visit from the headmaster of this secret university where her family used to be prominent members. They were, like, the leader of a house of this secret mm-hmm. university. And she says, the main character has also gotten into some trouble. She's on trial. And she says, I bailed you out of jail, but you have to come study at our university because in your parents' will, they didn't leave their inheritance to you. They left it to your family's vampire. And so she, in order for a vampire in this world, in this society, so you find out that the university is actually like a secret society for vampires, and there was an agreement that vampires can now only feed on these 80 families, and a few of the families have houses that kind of protect the school and keep it a secret with some sort of magic, and the vampires are, like, loyal. It's companionship. So she's given the choice of going to this school because if she doesn't, the house is going to fall into the hands of the vampire. He has to live in the house for 28 days by himself in order to take possession of the house and become the leader of a prominent family at this university. And she thinks that the university or the vampires have something to do with her sister going missing. So she goes and she falls into this, like, dark academia world. In order to live at the house, she has to be going to school. And the first year of school is, like, learning how to become a vampire's companion. And only one person makes it. So it's very high stakes. Ooh. You know, you're, like, walking around campus and it's always cold and there's, like, dark towers, and I'm, like, obsessed with the world building of this school, and I'm having such a good time listening to it that I want to make sure that I mention it for, like, a spooky season dark academia vibe. Plus, everyone in this story is black. The professors are black. The vampires are black. No, our main character is a black girl. So it's really interesting because you don't get black vampire stories a whole lot. Like, we have Blade. And
that was, like, 2002. So I think it's, you know.
Correct.
Pretty long overdue.
Right. And I'm sure there are other ones, but I can't remember a book I've read where, like, all of the characters are mm-hmm. people of color. And a lot of these families come from, like, different regions of Africa, and they kind of go over that in the book. It's really fascinating. It's so cool. And then some of the families like specialize in music or history or philosophy. And it's, I'm having such a good time. I love it so much.
I keep seeing a lot of people talk about it and I'm like, dude, I need to read this because I have it on audio. I have a copy I can start. And I just keep that when you said, oh, I'll bail you out of jail, but you have to go to school. That just sounds like Ninth House to me.
Yes.
So, and as we all know, I've been chasing the high of that ever since. So I'm in.
It's giving, it does give Ninth House vibes, but it's like all vampires. And instead of like a prestigious university everyone knows about, it's this like secret university where you learn how to be a vampire's companion.
What else do I want in life but that? Like, sign me up.
Yeah, she's super not into it and does not want to be a vampire's companion in any way, shape, or form. But I, on the other hand, am in.
Oh, so in. So in to read it, so in to live that life, at least. I mean, I don't know how it turns out for the companions. Maybe something bad happens to them, but I don't know.
I don't know. But I'm going to find out.
Yeah. I'll read it, and then we can talk about how much we wish that we could go find vampires and just not live in this reality.
I don't want a job anymore.
Just want to be a vampire traversing the land, doing whatever the heck I want.
I want to wear a cloak, and I just want to walk around at night and not feel unsafe.
That's where it is, facts. Okay, I know you have not read this one because we've talked about it before, but my next one is House of Hunger by Alexis Henderson. And
I'm sorry.
I feel like I am potentially, again, forcing this into a situation of, or like the theme of the podcast. And I don't care because it is so good and is so gothic and it's perfect. So this book follows Marion and she lives in the slums and she is just trying to escape. And there isn't really a lot of options, of course, until she sees a listing in the newspaper looking for a blood maid. And in this world, blood maids are a thing where you would go to wealthy families and they could just drink your blood, basically. And that's just what you do in exchange for living in a very nice, luxurious castle or mansion or something. And so she is thrown into this world with all these kind of, I guess, vampire-esque people and is just trying to navigate it, you know, between the dynamics between the other blood maids, because there is a hierarchy of like the favorite blood maid and blah, 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 and like trying to deal with that, and also the person that she's working for and her relationship. So it has kind of a, not kind of, it has a sapphic element throughout it. But what I also really loved is I didn't know what this was based on. It's based on a true story in some capacity. And it was so fun to read it and be like, wait a second, this sounds familiar. And finding out what it is. So I don't want to say it because I think it's more fun if you don't know who it's based off of. And just go in blind. Oh, you do? Okay,
so I already know.
I didn't know, and I was so excited because I had done, like, a storytelling class in community college, and I told the story of that, who it's based off of, with felt puppets, and so...
Oh, you freak!
Hey, it was the best...
That's such a dark tale!
And I had the Law and Order sound in there, and there was, like, felt puppets and, like, felt blood. It was, like, if I can find it, I also did a voiceover in it, had a Russian accent that was terrible. It was such a good time. And since then, for, like, the last 10 years or so, it's been not at 10 years, 8 years, whatever, I have just loved that story, or just stays kind of top of mind. So, for me, that was really fun to discover what
this was.
That's
amazing.
What was it about?
That's amazing. I love that. I went to that person's house.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was still up.
Trying not to. It's ruins. It's just stones now. But I went to the castle.
Oh, dude, I am so jealous. I would love to. That would be such a... Let's do it. Let's go to a trip. Let's do a trip.
Well, we absolutely can, because my sister, air quotes, is back living in Slovakia now. So we can 1,000% go visit her. Yeah. Might want to give it a hot minute here, because they border the Ukraine. But soon, yes. I actually didn't know that it was based off that secret person that we're not naming until rather recently, and I just found out, and I'm like, oh, I can no longer put this off because I'll read any story that has anything to do with that secret person.
That who should not be named. We're just going to go a Voldemort twist with that. Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. And I just love, we've talked about this, I love Alexis Henderson. I cannot wait to read an Academy for Liars. So anything she writes.
Yeah, I just got that one too.
I know. And I'm like, I'm in that mood where I know what I want to start next. But there's so many good books that came out in this last month that it has completely derailed my TBR. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know how much horror books I'm going to read in October. I know this comes out on the 29th, but it's still very early in the month for us. But I think we're going into a different kind of vibe here pretty soon.
Oh, no. I'm transitioning from Hot Girl Summer into Bog Witch Fall. Damn. And I have like two or three, like haunted swamp stories that I'm like, yes, I'm so excited
you
about it.
You have to let me know what you think of The Bog Wife. I know we talked about that a little bit and I'm very curious about it because I keep seeing it.
Yeah, I just got it. I actually think I'm going to try and read that next. I have like 100 pages left in Bury Your Gaze and then.
Yes. Are you liking it so far?
Yes. I love it.
It's so great.
I just read the airplane scene.
Oh.
Scream, 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 yeah. Scream, scream at the top of my lungs.
Oh my goodness. That, I just would love, I know he has like a crazy big catalog. I love the horror that he's been writing. And I read Camp Damascus last year and Bury Your Gaze. It is, he's just such a fun author.
But the titles of his other books have, nothing makes me happier than, I thought he was fake. I thought he was a fake person. Right. I didn't think it was real. I thought it was all satire. And then what is that called?
Yeah, Camp Damascus.
Camp Damascus, yeah. Came out last year and I was like, wait, he's for serious?
He's real? He's a real writer? This isn't fake books?
Can I actually read these books? That's like, never mind. We'll have to mark this explicit if I talk about any of them. Yeah. But please go Google Chuck Tingle's romance novel titles because you'll never be the same.
Have a great
you'll
time.
Be better.
A great time. You will be better.
You'll be funnier.
You facts. 100%.
Yes. Okay. I have two more and they are books I haven't read yet, but I want to read.
Love this. Okay.
I absolutely will not get to this one in October, but Bride by Allie Hazelwood. So going into like a kind of different vein. So this is definitely like romantasy. It's not horror at all. I think I could be wrong, but it's like a really powerful vampire loves the alpha werewolf. And that's all I need to know.
Team Edward and Team Jacob.
Who? Right. But they marry each other. Edward and Jacob marry each other. I would read that book.
Oh, no, 100%. Stephanie Meyer, if you wrote that, I am so,
I would
read that.
Prefer it if somebody else wrote it. But anyway.
Hot take.
At least I think that's what this book is about. From the cover, that's what I believe it to be about. So let's read a little bit of the synopsis here. Mary Lark, the only daughter of the most powerful vampire councilman in the Southwest, is an outcast again. Her days of living in anonymity among the humans are over. She has been called upon to uphold a historic peacekeeping alliance between the vampires and their mortal enemies, the Wares. And she sees little choice but to surrender herself in the exchange. Again. Don't know what that means. Fascinated to find out. Wares are ruthless and unpredictable, and their alpha, Lo Morland, is no exception. He rules his pack with absolute authority, but not without justice. And unlike the Vampire Council, not without feeling. That seems subjective. It's clear from the way he tracks Misery's every movement that he doesn't trust her. If only he knew how right he was, because Misery has her own reasons to agree to this marriage of convenience, reasons that have nothing to do with politics or alliances, and everything to do with the only thing she's ever cared about. And she's willing to do whatever it takes to get back what's hers, even if it means a life alone in Were territory, alone with the wolf. Anyway, you know they fall in love, and I'm pretty excited about that. And I want to read it really bad. And I pick it up every time I go to the bookstore, and then I put it down because I'm not ready for it yet. But one day I will be, and
I love that for you.
I'm excited about it. I love a cheesy romance, like a cheesy paranormal romance. I love it.
And I feel like that's what this could be. I haven't read Allie Hazelwood's work, but I know everyone who does loves her. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I heard some mixed reviews about this one. I'm not a huge straight romance person, and I know there's paranormal aspects to it, which makes it fun. I just don't know if it's for me. So I haven't touched it, even though I am kind of curious, like, to see what the hype's about, because everyone was talking about this when it came out.
Yeah. When it first came out, everyone was pumped, and then I saw some super mixed reviews, and that's, like, part of the other reason why I haven't really picked it up yet. But I feel like if you don't like horror, but you want to do a spooky season read, yeah, like, maybe do one of these paranormal romance situations. Get yourself some vampire and werewolves in another way.
There you go.
Literally.
I have one last recommendation, and this is not going to be for everybody. It was for me. It was very weird and fun and kind of vulgar in some ways. It is Sister Maiden Monster by Lucy A. Snyder. Have you read this yet?
I didn't read it. I think I bought it, though.
Okay. This is a very fun. It was one of those books, of course, if you like read horror, or, and I know thrillers kind of did the same, but this is one of those horror books that 2 years after the pandemic came out to write their own version of the pandemic. So in this world, their version of the pandemic is people start like wanting to drink blood or eat flesh, and there's like different levels of infection, and it determines like how much at risk you are. And so one of our main characters starts to want, I think they eat brains. So I think that's like what they want to eat. So like that is like top tier, like eating brain is like top tier. So that's one of the stories. And there's three different, you follow three different women because what's happening is the apocalypse. And so you have Erin, who is the one who gets the virus. And then you have Savannah, who is a professional BDSM switch. And then also has her own transformation that is not really something I can mention on the podcast. You just have to read it and find out because it is very shocking. It's a lot. It's a lot, to be honest. And then you have Mareva. So she is plagued with chronic tumors and is not willing to accept her divine role in this upcoming apocalypse. So you kind of just go throughout this world with these various characters as you're finding out what's going on, like who are they going out, like it's just, yeah, it is something else, to be quite honest with you. I don't really know how to describe it other than, again, it's not for everybody, but I really enjoyed it because it was very different and the different commentary, and it was just a fresh horror book. I hadn't seen a concept like this completely in quite a while, so I had a good time.
I think I own it. It's definitely on my list. It's a Kindle book, which I seem to read faster. I think I read ebooks faster than paper books.
Same. I don't know what the science is behind that, but I would definitely agree.
It's a phenomenon.
The phenomenon of reading ebooks faster.
Hello, scientists. Come tell us why.
Please study this.
So my last one is another one that I haven't read yet, but I have seen it compared to one of my favorite vampire movies like 1,000 times, and that's The Gathering by C.J. Tudor.
Yes.
People compare it to 30 Days of Night, and I love that movie. So I've added this. I've had it on my list since it came out forever ago, but I want to read it in winter. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, that's when I need the vibe, but I think this would be, like, an excellent addition to your spooky season TBR. This one, it's in an isolated town in Alaska that experiences the 30 Days of Night situation. But in this world, there are vampires, and everybody knows about that, but it's kind of treated like they have a disease. And in this small town, a body is discovered, and the like quote unquote normal people are like, was it the vampires though? And kind of the goal of the police officer, or whatever her title is to figure out who killed this woman, because the town's government wants to use this murder to be able to like eradicate all the vampires.
Nice.
Right. So it sounds super fascinating, and I've seen it compared to 30 Days of Night, and then I've also seen people talk about how it's similar to True Detective Night Country, which is quite possibly one of my favorite shows I've ever watched. It was so good. And I think that the like winter, isolated winter is one of the scariest settings. Like winter nighttime in an isolated town is horrifying to me. Mostly because like I can't drive in snow. I live in the Midwest and I like winter is the scariest time of year. I hate it so much. So I think The Gathering, for me personally, would be a great spooky season TBR because it has all of the things I'm scared of.
Heck yeah. And you know I love CJ Tudor. And I think we talked about buddy reading this, and then we were just both in a weird reading mood, so we did not get very far. Nah. But I just saw her post about it again, and I need to read it because I love her work, and I would be very curious to see how she handles vampires. Mm-hmm. So I'm in. Phaelos.
Yeah. Let's do a December buddy read.
I am down. We'll make that happen. Hooray. I feel like we have given the people so many recommendations this month, so I am so sorry with how that may impact your bank account.
Yeah.
If you decide to buy any of these.
Get you some ebooks. They're cheaper.
Do that. Do the library. And tag us on Instagram at Plot Twist. I forgot if you do end up reading any. We would love to hear what you think.
Yeah.
And let us know there too, like, what other books should we have mentioned? Are there other creature feature or horror books that you love that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, hit me with some like creature from the Black Lagoon-esque recommendations. I would love to read like a legitimate creature feature. I read a Bigfoot book once. Like, more of that. I've read two Bigfoot books.
How was that?
One was better than the other. And the one that was better, it's everyone's going to think it's Devolution. It's not. But I can't remember what it's called. So that's on me. But yeah, I want more. I want more, you know, there's something in the forest. And I want it to be like a, I don't know, big troll or something. Hit me up if you know what that is.
What about Amish vampires? How do you feel about that? You
wanna don't that? Bring up the ghosts of my past.
I could not help that. Follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram, and you can find our personal handles in the show notes below. And we will see you in November for our back to regular scheduled programming of a reread. So
Plot Twist, we're gonna do what we said we were gonna do in the first place.
Correct. We decided not to just go off the rails anymore, at least for 1 month. You'll see what you get in December. It's not gonna last long. Don't hold your breath.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks. Bye.